inaugural edition of Two Geeks M2C. And for those of you that don't speak that speak, that's Two Geeks Movies to Comics, where my friend Simon and I will be reviewing a number of movies recently released to theaters and some classics on DVD, as well as giving you our latest comic picks. Now, I'd like to introduce my friend Simon here and let him tell you about himself.
Hello, everyone out there. I'm Simon. I watch about 10 to 50 movies a week, and I really enjoy them. Back to you, Kev.
And, well, my name is Kevin. I forgot to introduce myself before, but I am very involved in comic books and comic book conventions and things like that, and I watch a lot of movies when I can. I'm a big movie buff, and we're going to sort of tell you what we like and don't like. So we're going to start off with maybe a little bit of news, and one of the big surprises of the last few weeks was the death of actor Heath Ledger. What do you think about that, Simon?
I got to admit, I'm greatly disappointed, actually. I was quite forward to looking him do interviews for Batman and maybe that new Terry Gilliam movie he was filming, and going to be very missed. I really liked him.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite Heath Ledger films?
I really liked Brokenback Mountain. I got to admit, it was a different movie, but it was a role for him. I got to admit, I liked it a lot.
Well, I hear he's quite good in that, but that's one of the movies I haven't seen, unfortunately.
I don't know. You should watch it. It's not bad. It's just what it is.
Really?
It's a nice story.
I don't know. Jake Gyllenhaal, I don't know. He doesn't, somehow he gets on my nerves. I don't know what it is.
Oh, well, you haven't seen Rendition yet. Wait till you watch that one.
Okay. Well, that's in my stack, so hopefully for the next show. I really enjoyed A Knight's Tale. You know, kind of a silly film, but I did like it. I like the use of modern music and, you know, sort of in the film itself, so... But I was looking forward to the Batman movie, and I still am. But I think that his death certainly adds a shadow to that upcoming release that they may not be able to get out of, you know, sort of a Brandon Lee Crow situation.
I think that's just going to add a lot more hype to the movie, more than likely. The same thing it did with The Crow.
Really?
I think grew to something it shouldn't have, but it was never a good movie.
No, Crow was a lot of atmosphere, but I'd agree it wasn't a great movie.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
You could see when Brandon Lee disappeared.
And the fake actor stepped in, yeah. That's true. But Brandon, of course, had a lot of charm and personality. He was again, one of those guys that was destined to be something. Probably would have outshadowed his father's, even his father's career.
I absolutely agree. If he had lived, Crow went through, and see, I think Heath Ledger had a promising career ahead of him. I think Batman would have... just brought him to that next level, finally, he's been waiting for.
Yeah, I gotta say, the Gilliam film, I'm not a huge Terry Gilliam fan, so I didn't care for Brothers Grimm, and Heath Ledger was in that one as well with Matt Damon. But.
Yeah, Brothers Grimm was, I think Terry Gilliam just sort of went a little off on that one, it's a little strange, but I don't know, I just like him. I guess those Python days, maybe it's nostalgia. I keep watching his films, just hoping something will come out of them. Pitcher King wasn't bad.
Yeah, and again, Fisher King is a film I don't really like. It's, you know, sorry, excuse me. When I think of Gilliam films that I do like, it's tough. It's maybe some Monty Python and Time Bandits. And after that, you know, I'm pretty much a leave it guy when it comes to Terry Gilliam.
Well, I can accept that. But Time Bandits, you're right, is the best movie ever. I don't think you can beat it. At least I haven't seen one yet that can beat Time Bandits.
No? Yeah, that's a great film. And the actors in that are fantastic as well. Sean Connery as was it Agamemnon?
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It's been many years. Maybe we should brush up
on my
Time Bandits watching.
Sure, sure.
Saw that in theaters years and years ago.
Well, let's get going with some reviews of recent films that we've seen. Some films that are still on their theatrical release right now. So why don't we kick it off with Tim Burton's Sweeney Todd?
Sweeney Todd was I was looking not forward to. I just came off Hairspray, put me to sleep. I didn't like Chicago. I was not really ready for another musical, but I love Johnny Depp. He always seems to become the character. I said, I'll give it a shot. And I came out of Sweeney Todd going, wow, really liked it.
Yeah, I gotta agree. Johnny Depp was fantastic. I mean, Johnny Depp's always very good. Some of his film choices I'm not sure about, but you know, definitely Pirates was enjoyable. All three films, and I really like this film. I wasn't expecting much, and talk about directors like Gilliam who are a little over the top and into atmosphere. Tim Burton definitely falls into that category for me. Too over-rendered in a lot of cases, and very dark. This film is very art-directed, so it didn't bother me. I mean, it did sort of capture that dark, moody London of the 19th century, which I enjoyed.
Didn't you catch the Batman reference, though, in it, when they're sitting on the beach? It looked like the Joker sitting on the beach in the Batman movie?
A little bit, yeah.
I thought it was a total scene out of Batman. Yeah. What did you think of Alan Rickman, Sacha Baron Cohen, and Helena Bonham Carter?
Well, Rickman was solid. I mean, but I'd have to say his character just had to sort of be a menacing baddie. And Sacha Baron Cohen, I don't know, like, really good actor, and I really enjoyed some of his cameos in films like Talladega Nights. I'm not a huge fan of Borat, but, you know, I can appreciate parts of that. And this one, I thought he was good, but he was only in it for a short period of time. It was more like a cameo appearance.
I have to say that. I thought Alan Rickman did what Alan Rickman was supposed to do in the movie. He didn't really have to do much. Be menacing, be mean. He sang fairly well, which I wasn't sure he could sing. And Helena Bonham Carter, I thought, really just dropped the ball. I didn't think she was really powerful in any way.
You know what? I was going to bring that up. I got to say, Helena Bonham Carter was just okay. You know, if they were making this film 20 years ago, of course, Angela Lansbury would have been reprising her role because she was the original actress in the stage version. And she would have had a lot more. I mean, hard to think that Murder, She Wrote star would have more presence than Helena Bonham Carter, but...
I have to agree with you. I just thought she fell flat. I thought the end of the movie was kind of cool. It's the only part I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm not a big blood and gore guy, so I was a little bit thrown off by the amount of gore at the end, but just bloodletting, I think is the right word. But it's, you know, the topic.
I quite enjoyed the movie. Like I said, I thought the bloodletting wrapped up the movie the way it was supposed to go, and he got what he deserved in the end.
And the music. Did you like the music?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. I thought the music was fantastic. And, you know, for a director that's not known for doing musicals, I thought Burton pulled it off very well. So
I agree.
So our opinion on Sweeney Todd, should you go see it or not?
Absolutely. Yeah. Excellent movie.
Cool. I would agree with you on that completely. I mean, it's been out since about Christmas Day, so... I imagine it'll be probably on DVD within the next couple of months.
Well, then I might go rent it again. I quite enjoy it.
Yeah, well, that might be one I might add to the collection. So, the next film on our list is the Coen Brothers' No Country for Old Men. How do you feel about that one, Simon?
I think it's my favorite movie of the year. Anything
really?
I've seen. I've had other friends tell me they thought it was okay. I thought it was wonderful.
I wouldn't go that far. I really enjoyed it. I did like let's just say the Coen brothers, they have we're doing avant-garde directors. The Coen brothers have a way of putting in little touches that you wouldn't see in films otherwise, like the killer's murder weapon of choice was very interesting, I thought, and handled well.
Oh, that was awesome. I don't know, the murder weapon, it was something different. They had a great pace to the movie. I thought it moved quickly.
Yeah.
For something that could have stalled out in the first 20 minutes, you're like, well, that's kind of cool. Murder weapon just had a nap for the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
But the pacing was excellent. The weapon kept getting used over and over again in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you were puzzlement when you first saw the weapon going, why is he carrying this around? It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And they used it in such a variety of situations. I thought it just worked well for me.
And I got to say, great casting. Josh Brolin surprised me. He's not an actor who I thought was much more than someone in his father's shadow. But I thought he really pulled it off in the film. I mean, it's some interesting twists with his character, though. So.
Yeah, Josh Brolin had never really impressed me. I thought he was always going to be known for as dating... I've forgotten her name now. Whatever. Doesn't really matter. Just dating the girl or just that it guy for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And Javier Bardem, which I really didn't know. I found out he was in Collateral. I had to look him up. A on IMDb just to find
out. Oh, really? He was in Collateral.
He's in Collateral, okay. which I didn't know, and I just impressed me. And Tommy Lee Jones, I still can't figure out why he was really in the movie. He was just kind of there to talk a bit.
Yeah, I gotta say, Tommy Lee Jones was good, but I don't know. It was very interesting that his path was parallel to the main story, but they don't really intersect directly. They almost do, I think. But I enjoyed it. I thought, Javier, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Javier Bardem was very interesting as this as a serial killer thug. I mean, I guess he was a thug, but he had psychopathic tendencies that led him to do.
I think so, but you got to give the guy credit. He got the job done. He was there to do a job, pick it up, and that was his goal. I find maybe more people maybe need his direction in things, because he knew what he would need to do.
Yeah.
And got the, I was just very impressed.
He's definitely the angel of death in this film. I mean, he's...
Oh, he was coming. You weren't getting out of this.
No. And a surprisingly funny cameo from Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, Woody actually impresses me as an actor. I never thought from Cheers he would mount to anything. I thought he'd just be one of those TV actors that kind of disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see Woody, I got to give him credit. I really don't like him, but he always does a good job.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got to say, he really, really lightened the film up, too, in the center part, and sort of brought you back to, there are obviously a lot of tense moments in this film, so Woody's definitely a source of lightening things up. So, what do you think? No Country, obviously, you liked it.
I loved it. Best movie of the year. I didn't see anything better.
Really?
It will be my pick for the Oscars.
Yeah. I'm not sure about my pick for the Oscars. Of course, I haven't seen all the films yet, so I hope to by the time we do our next recording. But I did like this film, and I definitely would recommend it. I'll tell you why I'm a little hesitant about saying best film, and that's because of the way it ends. But I won't obviously reveal the ending. On our podcast, we want people to go see these films and enjoy them and make their own opinions. But
I would love to talk about the end of this movie, people. It was just amazing movie. Go see it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so a little bit of an older release, but one that came out back in December, is Will Smith and I Am Legend.
Yeah, I think they should change the title. I Am Bored.
Really? You didn't care for this?
I thought it was just... ridiculous. I mean, I've seen a bit of the old Charlton Heston movie, and it's just... Charlton Heston is the guy, the scientist to me. Just he knows what he's there for. Will Smith just playing his Bob Marley music and trying to find the thing, and his dog... Who cares? Halfway through this movie, I had a nap. I was just hoping it would be over.
Oh,
I thought maybe I should get a refill of popcorn.
Okay. Well, I'm a big fan of Charlton Heston's Omega Man. I thought his performance in that was just so over the top. You know, it rivals William Shatner as Captain Kirk. But I found Will Smith, I like Will Smith. He does good films. He's a solid actor. And his performance in this film, I thought was exemplary. I thought it was very good. I thought the film itself, interesting concept, Last Man on Earth, I don't really have a problem with the film itself. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't highly recommend it, but my main beef with the film is that he's fighting against video game creatures that are, you know, these monsters look like they're rendered out of, you know, Resident Evil or something like that, and they don't look realistic. They look cartoony and rubbery. I would have taken it more if they had actors in prosthetics or something instead. It would have looked a lot better.
I see where you're going. I just think he should go hunt some monsters. I mean, he kind of just goes in, picks up one, and leaves. I mean, I just think he's writing the same videos. I'm like, okay, I've seen this already. Let's go do something with this. He sits around the house. He mopes about his family. I have flashbacks. I get what happened.
Yeah.
I just don't need 2 hours of this. I need something different.
Okay.
The monsters look like they were supposed to me. I mean, we only see them for, what, 30 seconds at one point, and then at night, near the end.
Oh, we see a lot of them at the end, though. The last fight scene, there are hundreds of them.
I just didn't care by that point. Mm. I just like, yay, the movie's over. Something exciting happens for 10 minutes, and I can go and see something else. I just was so disappointed with this movie.
I gotta say, I was upset when the dog died. I thought it was an interesting scene. And I did like the infected dogs. Those were interesting graphics. But I thought it was kind of sad when his dog died and turned.
I agree. I really liked his dog. He's probably the only thing I liked about the movie. At least he had somebody to talk to. And then when he had nobody to talk to, it was just like almost watching dead silence.
Yeah.
And then he meets the other random person that's left in the world. So, oh no, now he's going to have his salvation at the end of the movie. I just couldn't care by that point. Okay. I just wish it was over.
So you would say no on this one?
I could say you could sit and watch it on video. I mean, I wouldn't rush out to see it. It just, it wasn't my thing.
And nomination for best animal in a supporting role?
Absolutely. There you go. We'll give the Oscar to him.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
I knew I had to get something positive out of that film. I would say definitely a renter. Not a film you want to rush out to see in the movie theaters. But I did. There were a couple of moments where there were some genuine scares for me at the beginning, which I liked. I liked the use of blackness. So, and not Will Smith, but the actual. And his Bob Marley records and all that. Anyway,
each his own on this one, I think.
Okay. So let's go to an out of left field entry on here, because we're usually doing genre films. Usually, those are our main interests. But we've got here a bucket list.
Blame my wife for this one.
Really? Okay. And it stars Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman.
Who I always love in everything I see him in.
Yeah, both of them, or
yeah,
Morgan?
I usually enjoy Morgan Freeman. Jack doesn't do enough lately in scene, but I've always usually enjoyed Jack's just Jack.
Yeah.
I never see him really trying to branch out and be somebody different. Morgan Freeman always tries to do something different, does a lot of different films.
Yeah.
Which now, I usually enjoy.
Now, the concept of this film is that these two elderly actors are both diagnosed with terminal cancer. And this is how they react to responding to their treatment and so on, is that they both decide to write down a list of things that they want to do before they pass. And this is their, I guess it's like, they call it the bucket list, but it's like, if I kick the bucket, I'd like to do this before I go. And so they have adventures around the world, I thought it was, my day job, I'm a cancer researcher, so I thought it was an interesting depiction of how people deal with being diagnosed with cancer and their reactions to it, from denial to acceptance to, if I'm going to go, some people, react differently to how they're diagnosed with diseases. So I do find Jack Nicholson really looked his age. I found last few films he's been trying to look younger and energetic, dating younger women and things like that. But this I found, he looked like my grandfather, towards the end. So I thought that was kind of an interesting and gutsy role for him.
I agree with you, it was a gutsy role for him. And, yeah, he does look like my grandfather, but he could be my grandfather at the age he is.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I thought the movie took the course I would expect the bucket list to taste. Just I think the name alone just gave you what you were getting into. A nice, solid, I call them popcorn movies.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to be coming out of it, but I did come out of it because I do also have a bucket list just of things I haven't done, and I do plan on doing before I die, and every year I try to do one more thing on it.
Yeah.
So to me, I guess it was very heartfelt that way, but nothing outstanding. I enjoyed Morgan Freeman. I enjoyed Jack Nicholson. It was what it was, just a regular Hollywood, let's just put this out, make 20, 40 yeah. million, and that's about it.
I don't know. I thought the subject matter was different for Hollywood. I thought usually Hollywood avoids the big C word. They don't tend to address it unless, someone's spouse has a mysterious illness that they suddenly die from. You don't see a lot of people going through chemo and the sickness and the excuse me and the other problems related. But I thought it was a good film. I would recommend this as a video rental or a date movie.
I can see that. I have no issues with that. Like I said, it's a solid popcorn movie. Like it didn't make me change and make me think, but I quite liked it. It ended. I thought it finished where it was supposed to finish. It was kind of nice. Mm-hmm. I thought Morgan Freeman, like I said, did his normal, I'm Morgan Freeman, I'm going to show up and I'm going to do my job and go. I thought Jack looked good. I just thought it ended. But I think we're missing. I really enjoyed the supporting cast. I thought was kind of different when he goes back home and his family's warm and giving and this and that.
Yeah.
And I thought, again, I'm horrible with names sometimes. That guy that was on Grace, Will and Grace. I thought that guy, the supporting actor, I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know
what? Excellent.
It's funny, now that you mention it, I hadn't placed him from that show. But you're right, that was the actor from Will and Grace.
Yeah, I'm sorry we don't have the name. I forgot. Next show, I'll be a little more organized. I'll teach me to lose my paperwork.
All right. And then the last of our in-theaters list that we're going to run through is Nicolas Cage's National Treasure 2.
Yeah, it's Nicolas Cage.
Really? You didn't like this film? Or?
I've kind of, honestly, I'll say it myself, I think I've given up on Nicolas Cage.
You know what? I would normally agree with you. Sorry. But what I find with National Treasure, the first film, I was really surprised with how interesting it was. Now, I'm not sure all the characters were all that interesting, but the concept was really interesting, and I don't think there's enough of this out there, sort of using history as a tool. You know, I'm a history major myself, but using history as a tool for storytelling, I thought that was kind of neat, and I find, you know, this is pretty much the same formula applied from the last film.
Exactly. It's a very formulistic movie. I'm bored of Nicolas Cage. He just drives me up the wall.
Yeah.
And I find Dan Kruger equally as useless as he is.
Yeah.
And his sidekick could just be shot in the first 10 minutes. I think I might actually like the movie. And I thought it was a waste of John Voight's talents. I thought Helen Mirren, I'm like, why are you in this? You must be here for the paycheck.
I was really taken aback to see Helen Mirren in that film. I mean, right off the Queen to doing National Treasure 2. She's going to follow, like, Halle Berry's career or something like that.
Well, nobody can follow that bad. Jessica Alba's right behind Halle Berry. Yeah.
So go from, well, actually, Jessica Alba hasn't done an Oscar-nominated film yet, though, or won an Oscar.
If she does, this world's coming to an end. But Nicolas Cage has won one, so I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that, actually. I try to forget about it.
Yeah, leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Where's Elizabeth Shue's Oscar? Nobody's quite figured out what happened to that one.
I don't know. She should have gotten it for The Hollow Man, maybe. I don't know. Or The Saint. Some classic films. No.
I just thought it was a useless. Like, Ed Harris is an excellent actor.
Yeah.
And I thought he stunk it up. I thought Helen Mirren was the only really good positive thing. She was Helen Mirren. Okay, I'm here for the paycheck. I'm going to act. But, I mean, it's very formulistic. I'm thinking this is a bad Da Vinci Code.
Well, Da Vinci Code was pretty bad, I thought, too, so...
Yeah, Da Vinci Code, I think they just... I mean, if you've read the book and seen the movie, you're like, this is not the same thing. They're missing the whole point. They can't get the character to talk to himself in the movie.
No.
They need little word balloons coming out or a little subtext telling you what the character's thinking.
Right.
But it'll never work in film.
Yeah, I mean... All right, my opinion of National Treasure 2 is that if I were between the ages of 10 and 15, I would think this was an amazing film. I would really enjoy it. It's action, it's history, it's kind of puzzling. You know, I would learn something from it. Not that as a Canadian I really need to learn that much about American history, but I do find American history interesting. So I would say that the 10 to 15-year-old in me enjoyed the film quite a bit.
Yeah, I could see that. My 10 to 15, I think my 7-year-old niece would love it. I think she would probably get it and watch some Miley Cyrus video and then watch this afterwards. I think she would enjoy it. I just have a lot of problem with the structure. I find it very choppy, but that could be Nicolas Cage trying to think he's an actor. I was just disappointed. I want the Nicolas Cage I saw in Lord of War, which I thought was his best movie I've ever seen of it, which was moved nicely. I look how much money it made. I have to sit through a National Treasure 3.
I'll have to ask, did you see Ghost Rider?
I did see Ghost Rider. Oh, that was pitiful. I was beyond disappointed in Ghost Rider. But again, he tried to be Superman. He tried to be Batman. I'm surprised he didn't try to be Iron Man.
I gotta say, Ghost Rider was a great visual, the character Ghost Rider. And some of the villains, Blackheart would have looked better, I think, if they'd done the comic book version with the spikes and so on, but he was all right. I think that Cage was like, he's some kind of Zen actor or whatever. Anyway, I think he tried to overdo it, and it just didn't work.
He does that in every movie, though. He tries to overdo it.
Yeah.
I'm really bad actor. I just wish people would stop giving this man money to make movies.
Okay.
He just disappoints me. Like, did you not see him? That, I've forgotten now. Way back when with Sean Penn. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes.
Nicholas Coppola. Okay, that's who you are. You're only in the movies and you change your name to Cage. I'm disappointed. I think they should stop making bad comic movies.
He's a big comic fan.
I agree, but he sold his collection because something wouldn't let him have it, his wife or religion.
You know what? I know a little bit about why he sold his comic book collection. And let's just say, I mean, he didn't just have a little comic book collection. He had an amazing comic book collection. He had almost every major Golden Age key, Silver Age key. You know, he's a huge horror fan. From what I understand, he threw a party and some caterers lifted two or three of his most valuable books from the house. Like there was an action one and a Detective 27, a first Superman, first Batman. Those were lifted, and you know what do you do? Like that's like you know like the worst copy of Action One is worth $20,000, and that's falling apart. Being held on by molecules of tiny paper molecules. Like, I assume he had a mid to high grade copy. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars just stolen from your wall. And then, you know, there are only a few hundred of these things that exist at this point now, 70 or 80 years old. So, 70 years old. And, I think he was devastated. He just said, screw it, sell them at all. I'm going to get rid of it. And he kept the horror comics, from what I understand.
Well, good for him, but he can always make National Treasure 3. I'm sure he'll get a decent paycheck for that, and just buy them back.
True, but, you know.
Or why weren't they in his vault locked up? I mean, there are some issues in my mind for this.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? I'm sure he was trying to show off a little bit. You know, that one of the goals of collecting, I mean, you and I both collect, is to, you know, show off what you have in some respects, or you know, gather a collection that people can appreciate.
Oh, I'm a weird collector, Kevin. I think you would say I don't really show off my books. You kind of have to force me.
You do put yourself in storage, but yeah.
You kind of have to force me to get something out. Like, even artwork and that coming to my house or asking me, you kind of have to tell me ahead of time, and I have to be in the mood to even go get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's more like a kind of collector. I like to show my stuff off. I like to say, you know, look at this. I got this. This is cool. You know, you should, you know, I want to share my appreciation of this item with you so that you would enjoy it.
Absolutely you are. Maybe that's why we get along so well sometimes, because we're very different. I'll discuss your stuff, and I don't really ever mention what I buy. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe we should get on with our movies. So
okay, let's get back to movies. So we're going to move on to our older film on DVD lists. So we're going to run through some films that either Simon or I have recently caught. And some of these are, you know, not necessarily old films. Some of these are films that came out last fall that have just been released on DVD or in a new format. So we're going to start with The Tailor of Panama.
Yeah, I think we should call this section I raided my friend's home and stole his videos, because that's pretty much what I did. I phoned up a buddy of mine and said I need some movies to watch, so he brought me Tailor of Panama, starring Jeffrey Rush and my all-time favorite, I can't believe this guy has a career, Pierce Brosnan.
Now, Tailor of Panama is a spy story.
They try. It's another bad, in my mind, bad John Le Carré movie. Pierce Brosnan comes over to Panama to see what's going on with the Panama Canal, and it becomes just a farce movie by the end. Mm-hmm. And I just sitting through this going, who cares?
Yeah, now you saw it recently. Now, I saw it, would have been a year or two ago. And I didn't have any problems with the film. I liked it. I liked Pierce Brosnan, generally. And Jeffrey Rush is one of the leading actors of this generation, of that older generation, I should say. And I like his work. I like the film, at least what I remember of it.
I just thought it was paced well. It went in the direction it was supposed to go in. I'm bored of Pierce Brosnan. I think that's my problem. He plays the same character in every, from Matador to Shattered to Taylor Panama to James Bond, it's always the same character.
Okay.
Move on, Pierce. Try a love interest. Try maybe even a period piece. I'm willing to give him a shot. Try something different. You're boring.
So, Taylor Panama, rent or no?
I honestly would say no. I just was not impressed in any way from it. Except for Jeffrey. If you love Jeffrey Rush, he's great in every movie. Go rent it to see Jeffrey Rush. And if you don't like Jeffrey Rush, don't watch it.
I would say if you like spy films, check it out. I would recommend it. Now, the next film on our list, speaking of Nicolas Cage a few moments ago, Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, another one I stole from my buddy. I got to admit, I enjoyed Gone in 60 Seconds because it didn't really rely heavily on Nicolas Cage. Mm-hmm. I thought it had a great ensemble cast.
Angelina Jolie.
She was in it for, what, 10 minutes?
Look good, though.
But it had Chi-Chi McBride, who I quite always enjoy in every movie I see him in. I'm quite enjoying him in Pushing Daisies right now. I enjoy him on House.
Isn't Vinnie Jones in that?
He is, and I love Vinnie Jones. I think he's just a fun character to add to any movie except for X-Men. I think it's 3 when he plays the Juggernaut. I thought it was a little weak.
I'm the Juggernaut.
Yeah. I'm just like, why is he in this movie? I thought they kind of wasted the Juggernaut. But no, I thought Gone in 60 Seconds actually really impressed me, this movie.
I hated Gone in 60 Seconds. I have no use whatsoever for this film. It is another one of those... I don't even remember the producer's names off the top of my head.
Come on, it's Jerry Bruckheimer. Pirates of the Caribbean.
You know, come on. You know, put this on the shelf beside Coyote Ugly and leave it. You know, Nicolas Cage is Nicolas Cage. I mean, while I thought he was okay in National Treasure, I did not think he was very interesting in this film. I'm not a car fanatic, so I don't really care to see exciting, sleek cars on screen. The sound of an engine isn't that exciting to me. I don't care. You know, like, it wasn't my type of film. I think my brother liked it. He likes cars. So.
Come on. Had Delroy Lindo being Delroy Lindo.
Yeah,
you can't
Delroy
beat
Lindo
that. Delroy
plays
Lindo.
The same character in every movie he's in.
It's Delroy Lindo. You gotta love him. He's a cop. Yeah. Hunting down the guy. I just thought it was a fun movie. Like I said, I listed on another one of my popcorn movies. Mm-hmm. I quite enjoyed it. I came out. It had a beginning, had a middle, had an end. It had no bearing. I enjoyed my 2 hours of it.
Okay.
I liked it, and because Nicolas Cage was only in it for selected periods.
So we're split on the older movies so far. I mean, I like Taylor. You didn't. You like Gone. I didn't.
But I did enjoy Lost Boys, our next movie.
Really?
Discuss.
Yeah. One of Joel Schumacher's first movies.
I think it's Joel Schumacher's best movie.
Really?
I mean, did you see Batman and Robin?
I did see Batman and Robin. I didn't. Actually, Batman Forever had some promise. It started heading into that neon butt-cheek kind of territory, but Batman and Robin was one of the worst movies ever made, I think.
Yeah. Right. So they didn't give him the leeway with Lost Boys, and they kept him on script. I thought, I love Keith Sutherland. I usually enjoy him in most things I see him in, so I kind of enjoyed that. Had one of my favorite actors, and nobody ever remembers, Alex Winter from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Okay.
Play one of the vampires.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And which I quite enjoyed. And I thought Corey Haim was just Corey Haim. It was what it was. It had Jason Patrick in it. I thought it had a fantastic cast.
Were you working at that store when he used to try to come in and peddle his old DVDs and
I
stuff like
that?
I
did work at that store when Corey Haim came in. I felt kind of bad for him blowing all his money up his nose because it was pretty obvious when I met him. But no, I love Lost Boys. That was a fun movie.
And his other friend, the other Corey, the Ninja Turtle?
Come on, Corey Feldman played the same character in every movie, too.
I thought the Frog Brothers in this film were really good. They got two guys that ran the comic store on the beach.
I thought it was great. I love Lost Boys. I think it was one of those movies you've never seen. You just go sit down for an afternoon, make yourself some popcorn, maybe even a hot dog, and just sit down and enjoy it. It's
very,
fun. It's
very
fun.
Different Kiefer. I mean, so much younger. I mean, this movie's now, over 20 years old now, so...
Again, I don't know. I just never seen it, but I really liked it. It was a very 80s style movie, though.
Yeah. It did make me fondly remember the 80s, the simpler days of our youth. But
I wanted to put on Goonies right afterwards after seeing this. I need some truffle shuffle.
I've never seen Goonies, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, Kevin, for the next podcast, I will expect you to see Goonies so we can discuss it.
Goonies, okay. I'll put that down on the list. So, Lost Boys?
Loved it.
All
just a fun movie. I think for a 7-15 year old, if I'd seen it back in the day, I would have thought it was the greatest movie of the year.
And some great music in that film, too. I remember having the record. You know, there's the lead song by Michael Hutchence and of NXS.
Records, Kevin? How long ago was that?
Yeah, that was a while ago. 87 or 88, I think. Was.
I recommend Lost Boys strongly for that. Okay. I'm not kidding you, because my niece just lately saw Goonies, loved it, and I think I might, in another year or so, let her watch Lost Boys, because I think it's just a fun movie.
Okay, so that's a plus on Lost Boys. Next film, we mentioned Jake Gyllenhaal earlier. Zodiac, directed by David Fincher.
Yeah, so a very long movie. I saw it in theaters when it came out, and you recently saw it in DVD, I think. I liked the first hour when it had Drew Carey's brother knocking people off. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. You know, there's another connection I didn't make.
I'm weird. What can I say? When I see a movie, the first thing I do is try to figure out where I know the guy from and what else I've seen him in the first 30 seconds.
Now Zodiac is about the infamous Zodiac killer who terrorized San Francisco and parts of California, Northern California, in the late 60s, early 70s. Now, he's been attributed to 5 murders, I believe, with potentially another half a dozen or so. A lot of hype surrounding this killer because he went to the media, wrote letters and so on, and the newspapers ran them and terrorized the city, basically, with these letters. Now, I thought the film was well done. I thought it was well acted. It didn't seem to go anywhere. And you know what? It made me research the real thing, the real Zodiac story. And I found it was pretty good. In fact, the whole Zodiac story kind of peters out. And so does this movie. You know, it just, you know, hey, this is what happens. This is exciting. I mean, an interesting twist because it's following the story of a cartoonist who works at the newspaper as he becomes obsessed with the details of the case. And he works with the crime writer and some of the police involved with it and so on. But the Zodiac just kind of disappeared. He ended up writing a few crank letters later on in his career, but he was out there obviously for the hype. And criminologists believe that he was writing letters to get attention. So, you know, attributing crimes that other people did to himself to keep this, you know, high level of hype and celebrity around him. So, you know, in a sense, he was like a celebrity murderer. You know, and I thought it was interesting in that respect.
I thought it was an absolutely boring movie. Okay. The first hour, I was kind of into it, and the middle part, I'm like having a nap.
Well, picked up towards the end, I thought, too. I mean, he starts when Jake Gyllenhaal's cartoonist character starts investigating some of the lost leads, you know, going into that guy's basement and some creepy connections there, and I thought that was interesting.
I did, but by that point I was getting lost. I thought Mark Ruffalo pretty much left the picture, I thought the picture kind of just started heading south.
Yeah, he was excellent in that film.
I enjoy him in every movie, but I mean, I don't know, we haven't discussed my favorite part of the movie yet, which I haven't told you.
What's that?
Is when they do the family life, and they go talk to the family life, and then he gets to the end of the movie, he goes, I can't remember the name of the character, and he goes, and he really loves his children. I just thought that was a good shot at the guy's ex-wife, I guess his second ex-wife. I don't know if he's still married to her. I thought that was pretty funny that they would put that in at the end of the movie, that he really loves his kids.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought, the movie, I guess, in a sense, if you were to watch it, as it would lead you to believe that he couldn't give a two-whatever about his kid. So he was more interested in solving this case than spending time with his kids, and I gather that was not necessarily the case, that there might have been other reasons for why marriage split up.
What did you think of Robert Downey Jr.? I thought he did another excellent job.
Robert Downey Jr. is a great character actor, and I thought he was really good in this as Paul Avery, the crime reporter.
Oh, God. Yeah, you've seen it recently. I saw it a while ago. I just thought, again, a decent movie. I think they should have taken a good half an hour out of it. I probably would have really liked it. It got dragged in that middle part, just when nothing was going on. Let's just take out some of the home life. I got it the first time. I didn't need it shoved down my throat the third or fourth, fifth time. Like, I think they should have gone, cut the movie in half, and just show the part when he kills, go a little quick, get the prison scene done, and then start, and then we peter out the Mark Ruffalo and go right into the whole investigation of him. Maybe just in a little bit. Maybe 2.5 I would have been okay, but it was hitting the 3-hour mark. I'm like, I just don't care anymore.
Well, I ended up buying the 2-disc special edition that came out a little bit later, and there's some great interviews with the actual participants in the investigations. So what I liked about it was it opened more questions than closed them. So there's definitely a character who reveals a lot of information about who he feels was the killer, who in my mind is now really a suspect. So just for that, I would recommend watching that stuff if you like this kind of stuff. If you like history and if you like serial killers, not that I like serial killers, but this is intriguing criminal investigation stuff. So sort of if you're a CSI fan, you might like this.
That's possible. I could see that. I'll give it. It's okay to me. I can't say it's good or bad. It was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
I liked it, but I see where you're coming from. Now the last on our older films list to run through is Russell Crowe and Christian Bale in 310 to Yuma.
Which I thought was, I gotta admit, I do not like westerns. I hated Mel Gibson's Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood that won the Oscar.
Hated Unforgiven?
I could not stand Unforgiven.
Oh my God.
I had a nap during
Get out of my house.
I guess I should. I enjoyed Silverado years ago.
Silverado's a fun movie. Yeah.
But I'm sitting there going, I saw this movie, my eyes are going to roll. I love Russell Crowe, so I said, you know what, I'm going to give this movie a chance. And I have to admit, I could watch another Western after watching this movie.
Yeah. I really like this film. I thought it was, Russell Crowe, there's an ease and a familiarity with him and his character. And he's brilliant. Really, really good. And Christian Bale, weight of the world on his shoulders. I thought he was really good.
I think he's come around as an actor. I've got to admit, I was worried about Russell Crowe after a good year. I just had a big snooze during that one day.
And I don't think I've seen that,
I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. I saw it on the plane, and let's just say I turned off my headphones and went to sleep.
But, still he's the star of two of my favorite films of the last 10 years, Master and Commander and Gladiator.
Okay, we'll get into Master and Commander another show. That was another big snooze fest for me.
Oh, I love Master and Commander.
I thought Gladiator was great, but I didn't like it. But back to 310 Yuma.
Okay.
I thought it presented itself excellent. I thought Christian Bale stepped up immensely as an actor, because I thought Batman was amazing. Batman Returns, I think, or whatever the new Batman movie was
called. Batman Begins.
There you go, Batman Begins. And I was like, okay, well, it's Christian Bale. Let's see what he can do. And impressed me again. I think he's finally come around now to that boy stage, moving up to the Jodie Foster caliber of an actor. I can do this. Didn't take the Kurt Russell turn and just let's make some bad movies like Overboard for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Maybe Mighty Ducks 8 or something.
Mighty Ducks 8. Maybe he can join Cuba Gooding Jr. and they can do some films together.
Yeah, Cuba's kind of jumped the shark. But I've recommended 3-Time Yuma. I probably don't have a lot to say about it. I enjoyed it. There were a lot of character actors here I thought that popped up with them in the towns and things.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the sheriff was excellent. I thought everything was good. It was a solid movie.
Yeah. I would highly recommend the film.
So would I. For a guy that even doesn't like Westerns, would not recommend a Western movie normally to anybody, or nor want to sit through one. I thought this was just an excellent, excellent movie.
Now, I'm a big fan of Westerns, and I really feel that the Western is a lost art, the making of Westerns, and this one definitely captures that. Because Westerns, and the director made a great comment about this on the DVD, documentary, and the Westerns, in a sense, are like our fairy tales, our North American fairy tales. The West was a mythical, like when you look at castles and dragons for places like England and Europe, horses and cowboys and gunslingers and so on, they're the mythology of North America, and they're that sort of that fabled Neverland that, existed for such a short period of time. I was a fan of Deadwood, the show. I really enjoyed that show, and there's something on one of those documentaries that basically said, the Deadwood that they're mythologizing existed for like 6 months. It wasn't there for long, But it was such a turbulent time that it was interesting. You know, a lot of tales have spun out of that.
I can see that. I did try to watch an episode of Deadwood again. I'm more of an Adventures of Briscoe County kind of guy.
Oh, Briscoe County was fun, yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I've never been a big fan of the Western genre. I did enjoy Treasure of the Sierra Madre, Magnificent Seven. I mean, there are a few movies I enjoy. And you know what? This may be exposed. I will watch more Westerns in the future because I quite enjoyed this movie.
I don't know if I consider Treasure of the Sierra Madre a Western per se. Because it's sort of modern. Yeah, I guess it could be. It's like a South American Western.
I guess so. It's got Humphrey Bogart in it. Yeah. Can't be bad.
Yeah. But I really enjoy Westerns, but there are so few and far between that are any good. Obviously, Clint Eastwood dominates. I mean, Outlaw Josie Wales is one of my...
Can't say I've seen that one.
Oh, man. Gotta see Outlaw Josie Wales.
Next one I'll see, I promise. On next. Yeah.
And then his other films, like Unforgiven, I liked. You didn't care for that.
I found it a little slow.
The Man with No Name trilogy, I used to enjoy. I'm kind of bored with those films right now. But we'll go from there. So, that'll wrap up our DVD section.
Yeah, so if you don't want to hear about comics, feel free just to tune us off now and come back and see us next time.
We're going to pop a little bit more about movies before we go to comics.
I guess we should.
Because
okay.
We love to talk about movies.
Movies are good.
Yeah.
I like them.
And that's, you know, we're coming up. Here it is. It's early February, and we're coming up on the big summer blockbuster season.
Which I got to admit is last year stunk. I was disappointed in most movies I saw.
I say, Spider-Man 3 was a disappointment.
Awful. Yeah. Just an awful movie.
I didn't mind the Harry Potter.
Yeah, but Harry Potter to me is just, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, I've read the books, so they have such a good script to work from. It can't be a bad movie.
Yeah, and, you know, I liked films like The Illusionist and Prestige. They were okay.
Illusionist was excellent, but again, it wasn't one of those blockbuster movies. I was like, oh, I gotta rush out and see The Illusionist.
Pirates 3 was okay.
Pirates 3 put me to sleep. I thought it was better than 2, but not much better. And the movie that disappointed me the most, which I was most looking forward to, was Shrek 3.
Well, Shrek 3 was not very good.
An awful movie, and I enjoy those movies. I look forward to sitting there and just having a nice, enjoying time watching them. And it upset me coming out of Shrek 3 going this stage.
You mentioned No Country for Old Men as your favorite movie of last year.
It was.
Yeah. Mine is Ratatouille.
I thought Ratatouille was an excellent, excellent, excellent movie.
Brad Bird is an amazing director, and can't wait to see what he comes up with next, but I gave my niece a copy of that for Christmas, and she loved it.
You're just a nice guy. Well, you know I'm a big Pixar fan. Any guy, you know, come to his house has a giant Toy Story poster framed on his wall.
Well, that's you.
I just love Pixar movies, but we'll get into those at another time. So, what are you looking forward to this summer, Kev?
Well, I mean, I gotta say, now that the trailers for the summer films are starting to come up, when I went to see I Am Legend in IMAX, they ran a really long sequence from Batman The Dark Knight, which is the sequel to Batman Begins, with the now deceased Heath Ledger as the Joker. Did you see that one?
I only saw my trailers, I have to apologize. I saw it on YouTube.
Okay.
And I was like, wow. Because I don't like to watch trailers because they ruin the movie 9 times out of 10 for me. So I avoid them like the plague.
Well, what I liked about the Batman trailer in particular was it just basically took like a sequence out of the film and showed a heist. And you don't know who's who and what's going on here. And all the villains are wearing clown masks as they do this. But they start... you know, bumping each other off as they're doing the job. And I thought it captured completely the whimsical, bizarre nature of the Joker, the ultimate anarchist.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we saw different trailers, because I don't remember that, but maybe I didn't.
Okay,
the YouTube
that may have
trailer,
been the
so
IMAX trailer, yeah.
Maybe the YouTube trailer was a little smaller. But no, I'm quite looking forward to Batman 2, and I'm probably going to rush out and see it the first day it's released.
Oh, yeah, me too. Absolutely.
At 1 o'clock, knowing me.
Well, I might have to work, but... I definitely am looking
forward to
that.
I'll be phoning you when I'm done, then.
Another film with a great trailer, Iron Man.
I'm absolutely upset about seeing the Iron Man trailer because I read too much about it ahead of time at the San Diego Comic-Con when they kept saying how good it was. I read the live reports. I saw it. I'm like, I need to see this movie now.
Well, I'm really impressed with what I've seen so far. I think the Iron Man armor looks great. I love that they use the Black Sabbath tune in the trailer. You know, captures sort of that kind of that fun, charged atmosphere of Iron Man. Hopefully it's not a goofy.
I don't think it will be, but I was getting a little afraid when I read Jon Favreau was directing it after seeing Zaratha and going, okay.
Well, that film was just okay. But I did like his other films quite a bit. I liked Maid a lot.
I can't say I've seen Maid.
Oh, yeah, there's one you should put on your watch list.
I'll watch it for next one.
Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau in the leads. And of course, Swingers is, he didn't direct that. Doug Liman directed that, but it's Favreau's story. That's...
Let me tell you, I couldn't make it through Swingers.
Oh,
I tried and tried. I just
love Swingers.
I know. But I think that's one of those mixed bags. People either love it or hate it, and I couldn't make it through it.
All right. Elf.
Elf is a cute film.
Yeah.
A very cute film, and I have to leave it as a cute film because that's what I thought. Again, I get bored with Will Ferrell quickly. He plays the same character over and over again.
Zoe Deschanel.
Well, she's a very attractive woman. And she showed up on one of my favorite TV shows, Weeds, so that made me happy. But I think she's attractive. But again, I find Will Ferrell a boring actor. He doesn't make me laugh. Adam Sandler doesn't either.
I thought he was good enough. I liked it. It was goofy. Talladega Nights didn't really do much for me. But what about, did you see The Breakup?
I did. Loved it for the first hour.
Yeah.
And then the second hour, I got bored.
Favreau and Vince Vaughn. Our magic, those two guys together. So
I'm quite looking forward to Vince Vaughn's Wild West comedy, I think it's called, or Comedy of West, when he goes on tour and does stand-up. I'm going to give him a shot. I like Vince Vaughn. I always enjoy Vince Vaughn. Mm-hmm. I give all his movies a shot.
Okay, cool. I'm trying to think what else is coming out. I mean, there's on DVD, there's the New Frontier straight-to-video release based on Darwin Cook's acclaimed comic book series, The New Frontier. Did you read New Frontier?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you have to read New Frontier.
I know, I keep meaning to pick it up. I keep reading good things about it, and I just haven't done it.
A Joe Shuster Award-winning
book. Is it a Joe Shuster Award-winning book? Oh,
yes.
That's...
For these of you who don't know, I'm involved with the Joe Shuster Awards. I was really happy to see that the people selected that as their favorite cartoonist's work.
I gotta give Darwin credit. I really thought he was just going to show up for a year, do the Catwoman reboot, and just disappear. I thought his art has gotten better and better, and I'm really quite enjoying him as an artist.
Well, he really is one of the giants of the industry right now, I think. The Spirit was fantastic.
I know you love The Spirit. I didn't read it, but I've looked at the covers, and I've casually flipped through it and going...
put that on one of your to-read piles.
Yeah, I'm out there. I read a few comics, but I do try. But when people recommend things, I do read them. But I really like Darwin Cook's art. I don't know if I can get through The Spirit. I thought the Will Eisner stories, I love the art, put me to sleep. I think that kind of discouraged, since The Spirit's getting picked up by Argonauts now, I think, is drawing it.
He's writing it, and Mike Ploog is going to be drawing it.
See, Mike Ploog, I've always enjoyed as an artist, so maybe I will.
Well, you know, I got to say kudos to DC on selecting Mike Ploog, because Ploog actually apprenticed at the Eisner Studio, apprenticed with Will Eisner. So he developed his style from the master, so, you know... I can't think of a better person to take over Will's book than Mike Ploog.
Well, that I did not know, and I do read a lot of alter ego and comic book artists. I guess I just forgotten that. For thousands of pages I've read of that stuff, which is good.
When you look at Ploog's stuff, you can definitely see the Eisner influence on him stylistically. So I have a good feeling about the book.
I'm going to have to check that out now. Now you got me interested.
Although it has, unfortunately, with number 12... I've shifted The Spirit into my trades-only pile, so I'm going to just read it as a trade paperback. So
good, I'll have something to steal then.
Yeah.
I'll come over and steal your trades. Yeah. I like reading things in trade now. I try to stop my monthlies just because...
Me too.
I find I like reading it in trade, then I'm done. Which brings me to one of my favorite read last month. I finally picked up Scalp after hearing too much about it and not making an effort, which I know you have no interest in.
No, you know what? I'm not a huge Vertigo fan. I like some of the Vertigo stuff. Like Why the Last Man, and Fables is okay, but I haven't read Scalped, and, you know, the premise, Sopranos on the Reservation, that didn't really seem all that interesting to me.
Being a big Soprano fan, I had to give it a shot, and it took a few issues. You know what, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to watch it, read it on trades, and I know the last issue, Why, just came out, I'm quite looking forward to reading that soon. I know you pick it up in trades, so I'll be way ahead of you.
Yeah, me too. I read the synopsis today on Wikipedia of what happened.
Oh, so you're ahead of me. I haven't even picked my copy up. It's on reserve, so I will get to it before you.
Hey, just like we jumped ahead a little bit, but have you seen the Star Trek trailer?
Okay, me and Star Trek don't mix.
You don't like Star Trek?
I try. I watch the movies. I think I enjoyed the first two. And I don't think... Oh, I like the one when they knocked off Kirk, because I can't stand William Shatner. Oh, okay. So I enjoy Generations.
Oh, Shatner, man. Dude, you're killing me here.
I'm sorry.
I'm okay with Star Trek. I'm not... You know, Next Generation I watched is okay. Some of the later stuff I couldn't care less. You know, once it got into Voyager and Kate Mulgrew's voice, man. Oh, I hate that voice.
What about Scott Bakula?
We're going to go. Scott Bakula is okay, but I never got into Enterprise. It just, you know, although it did have that hot Vulcan. You know, it just didn't work for me.
Well, what is this thing you're talking about? I didn't know anything about it.
So
break it down for me.
So J.J. Abrams, the guy that did Alias, and he also did Mission Impossible 3 and Lost and a bunch of other shows, he's been tapped to produce and direct a Star Trek movie that's hopefully going to revive the franchise. And what the concept for the film is that, like, in the future of Next Generation, Spock, I think we last saw him with the Romulans. He was trying to help the Romulans achieve peace or something like that. Anyway, there's a mystery that involves old Spock trying to save the past. Okay? So it jumps ahead to a time before the original series with Kirk, Spock, and McCoy and them. And it's how they all met and how they became the Enterprise crew. So this is sort of like it's a prequel, but it's also a sequel. So
okay, I'll watch it. Like, I like J.J. Abrams, so I will give it a shot.
I love original Star Trek.
I know you do.
I love it. I bought the remastered season one with the DVD, the HD DVD combo, where they've gone back in and they've redone all of the exterior special effects shots of the ships and things like that. Flipping awesome.
I'll have to trust you because I'll never see it.
It's like being closer to God watching that new Enterprise go across the screen. I know you don't understand it all.
It's all right.
I'm not a big Trekker either.
Yes, you are.
I wouldn't go out and buy stuff. I don't dress up. I just like Kirk and Spock and McCoy, and I like that era of Star Trek. And you know, with the new effects, watching the old episodes, man, looks great.
Well, that's good.
Alright, so the trailer is basically them building the Enterprise, launching Christmas 2008.
That's good.
So I'm looking forward to it.
I'll leave you with that, and then we can move on to something else, because Trek talk for me.
So, a little bit of comic news. Obviously, you've heard by now about what they've done with Spider-Man.
I have. I was quite surprised, but not at the same time.
In the now infamous One More Day storyline. What do you think?
I think it's just Quesada being Quesada going, you know what, we don't know what to do with this character. I don't like Mary Jane. He just had to finger a way to get it out. I think that was just Quesada going, look, I'm Chief of Marvel. I'm going to reboot things like I did before. Like, he brought back all the old stuff, restarted the books at the old numbering. Mm-hmm. And then this is just Quesada being Quesada. Let's bring everything back to the old days when I loved Marvel.
Well, I don't disagree with you that it's Quesada being Quesada, but it pisses me off because it basically saying, we don't care about telling a good story. We don't care about our characters being consistent. And I'm not talking about necessarily continuity, but consistent. You know, Spider-Man makes a deal with the devil and erases his marriage, and everybody forgets his secret identity. His aunt comes back to life. Her house is revived from ashes. His best friend, Harry Osborn, is back from the dead. Deals with the devil aren't supposed to be good things. You know, this is what this is. A hero made a deal with the devil, and he's profiting from it. You know, like...
What was it, Save Aunt May?
Yeah, it was the Save Aunt May.
Well, Aunt May needs to live.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to say. I just don't care anymore. I've gotten so bored with Marvel and what they're doing. I've read so little Marvel titles. I read also Spider-Man because it's kind of contained, and that's really about it now with me and Marvel. Wow. I've kind of left the fold a long time ago.
I agree with you. Marvel's definitely a company that I'm losing interest in. There are a few highlights. I do read Brubaker's Captain America, which I think is one of the best superhero comics.
Which I read only in trade, and I just picked up that gorgeous, I think it's Ultimate Edition.
Oh, the Omnibus.
Omnibus, which is just phenomenal.
What a fantastic book,
I love the thing. I don't know, I just find Brubaker's probably the only guy I think can actually write at Marvel now. But they're not. I find they've gotten away from us old guys. They want to go for that younger crowd, which is
right.
fine with me.
Which is, I think, a huge mistake because the younger crowd isn't interested. There's no younger crowd for comic books right
I
now.
I absolutely agree.
Younger crowd's reading manga and things like that. So making Spider-Man single and whatever, all the things that he is, by the way, in Ultimate Spider-Man. He's a kid who is single, and he still has all this stuff, you know, rediscovering. If there are young readers out there who are actually interested in Spider-Man, they have Ultimate Spider-Man. They have Marvel Age Spider-Man. They have all sorts of other lines of Spider-Man books. They can read the classic stuff. I find this whole need to make Spider-Man sing, like, okay, you don't like the marriage, they separate and maybe divorce. I mean, you never mention it again. Everybody moves on. You don't have to reboot everything and make deals with devils.
I think I'd also give Mary, isn't she still an actress? At one point, just have her do a film in Europe or something and just sort of leave her there.
Out of the picture for a while. She was in L.A. shooting a picture for a while at
right.
the beginning of Straczynski's
So just
run.
Leave it there and leave it. Oh, Straczynski, don't even get me started on a guy that just writes garbage continuously.
Well, people seem to like his Thor.
I gave up on Thor years ago. I finished off and they did the thing and brought in Journey into Mystery and Master Kung Fu magically came back from the dead. That was the last for me.
So, you know, we ran into your pick, your comic pick.
My comic book is Scalped.
Scalped, yeah.
That's okay.
And that's volume one, paperback.
Only $10, I might add. $11.50, I guess, with tax. Probably
the
less
introductory
than
price.
Introductory price. And I've got to admit, I've ordered volume two to read. So I'm quite looking forward to it.
Well, maybe I'll check that out.
No,
so
you
she
won't.
Recommend it.
Don't lie to people.
I read everything, Simon. So
that
I will
true.
Read that eventually.
But I've never read your pick, though.
No,
your favorite book of all time.
My pick, and people who know me know I love this book, Invincible, written by Robert Kirkman and drawn by, at first, Corey Walker, and later Ryan Ottley. And I'm a big Ryan Ottley fan. And by the time this is actually on air, you'll know that we're going to bring Ryan Ottley to town for the April Hobby Star Toronto Comic Con fan appreciation thing. Anyway, love this book. You know, it reminds me of old Spider-Man, the politics, the drama, the interpersonal stuff. I thought it was great. And I really, really do recommend that if you're a fan of superhero comics and you like old Ditko, Steve Ditko era Spider-Man, you'll like this. This is a fun book.
If you say I will, Kevin, since we're speaking of nostalgia, I'll say the bad book I bought in the month. I read a good review of Rob Liefeld's Youngblood.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I guess I'm just looking for that 80s nostalgia, so I finally broke down. And I like Joe Casey's work normally.
Yeah.
I will give the new Youngblood one issue shot. It's got to impress me till the end.
No interest whatsoever.
I know you don't. I just picked it up.
I liked Alan Moore's Youngblood. That was about it.
Well, Alan Moore's the best. Well, I guess that's it for us this week, Kev.
Yeah, that's it for now. Hopefully we'll be back soon, and we hope you'll let us know how you think about this. Two guys just rambling on for an hour about movies and stuff they like. But, you know, it was fun talking to you today, Simon.
It was great, Kev. Hope we can do it again soon.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe we'll have an email by then. What do you think?
Maybe, yeah. We'll have to set one up.
Okay.
All right, so that's it for this edition of Two Geeks M2C. That's Two Geeks, Movies to Comics.
I'm Simon.
And I'm Kevin.
See you next time.
Yep, bye.